Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're discussing franchises that never happened, some casting news, and our reactions to Deadpool 2. Now, let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today is my fellow host, Johnny Davenport.
Hey, Aaron, I am Johnny Davenport.
You are. You know you weren't here last week. There were ladies in your seat.
Yeah, I pay rent, so I didn't pay that week.
And joining us this week is, you might remember him from previous episodes, from Horribly Awkward, Sean Iams Fuller. What's up, Sean?
Hey, I am super confused right now because I was just about to say, guys, last week's episode was the best episode yet, but you guys all sounded like you had the flu or something. I didn't understand. Ladies, who was actually on the podcast last week? I'm confused, but it was great. It was phenomenal.
No, you're supposed to say it was better the week before.
It was right. Last week was rock solid. Loved it.
All right, fine. They did great.
The difference is say the week before that was better.
Actually, great job to the ladies. That was a great episode. Besides, it took 8 hours to get to the topic, but it was actually a really good episode. I listened to it and I enjoyed it.
And let me tell you, if you edited it, it took about 12 hours to get to the topic. So there's a lot of yammering before they got there.
Shout out to the ladies.
There's a lot that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yes, no, there's more that goes on the Patreon because they just kept talking and talking and talking. But they did a great job. Thank you, Amanda, Angela, and Courtney for doing that last week. That episode came out great. So thanks so much for that. Now let's move on. I do want to say before we get into stuff, quick update. The whole cruise. We talked about the Hollywood Outsider cruise that Brian Williams, honorary whole member, is putting together for the Hollywood Outsider. That is still going forward in 2019, still on course. We are taking Memorial Day week off, so next week we won't have a show, but we will have a full update for you on the June 6th episode of Ho. So be sure to listen to that one if you're interested in that. That should be, if not fun, intriguing.
The Ho Cruise Collision Course.
Someone's going to fall off and lose their memory, and then I'm going to pretend to marry them. And
that's overboard.
It'll be awesome.
That's a movie. That's different. Damn it, Sean. Let's get it.
This is not awkward in any way.
All right. Some cool casting news. This isn't on your format, but I thought it was really cool, so we should mention it. Because we haven't had we haven't been here in a couple weeks. Ladies took over last week. They kicked us out. Michael Keaton is going to return for Spider-Man Homecoming 2. Jake Gyllenhaal. Sweet. What's that?
I said sweet.
Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal is in talks to play Mysterio in that same movie. James McAvoy, this is the cast for It Chapter 2 as well. James McAvoy is going to be Bill. Andy Bean is going to be Stan. James Ransone is going to be Eddie. Jessica Chastain as Beverly. Bill Hader as Richie. And Mike hasn't been cast yet. So, yes, they left the black guy out. What do you think? What do you think of all that casting news?
Jessica Chastain, I absolutely love her and basically everything she does. So as long as she's on that list and that's final, I'm happy.
It's basically that entire cast for It, The Second Coming, is basically they're spending all their money on Jessica Chastain and then they're just getting whatever they can afford after that. Is that what happened?
Well, McAvoy's, he costs a pretty penny, right? I mean, he's got Split and X-Men. He's okay.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that he was there.
McAvoy can play multiple characters too.
Yeah. He also seems like the kind that just shows up and he's like, oh, I'm Jay McAvoy. I can do things for free. This is fun for me.
Why doesn't he just play all the white guys?
Technically, he could. He can play Jessica Chastain if he wanted to.
I like it. But Mike is the most important guy in the entire movie. He's the one guy they haven't cast. I'm assuming they are still trying to find the right actor for it. Will Smith? I don't know. But
Will Smith's too old for that.
No, he's not. He's right at the right. He might be a little over it.
He's at least 10 years on everybody else.
Man, he still looks pretty sweet.
They're going to get the guy from This Is Us, right? Like, he's in right now. That dude's in.
He's a great actor.
Yeah,
he is.
He can do it. This is it.
That's Sterling, right?
Yes. What's his first name? Does he have a first name?
You son of a bitch. I was just going to go be like, Sterling, and be like cool about it because I can remember at least one of his 14 names that he goes by. But you're like, what's his first name?
I think it's Sterling K. Brown.
It is Sterling K. Brown. I did say his first name.
Yeah, you did say his first name. Good job. Okay.
I don't know where that accent came from.
I don't know. It was really offensive. I like Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be in a superhero movie. I don't know, you know, is he going to be Iron Man's cousin? I don't know what his role is going to be as Mysterio, but that's interesting. I mean, I love him. He's a great actor. That's an interesting casting choice, I thought.
I hate when they announce Marvel villains and Marvel heroes and everyone's excited and I'm like, I don't know who they are yet until I see them on screen because I don't read the comics or know anything about them. So I'm just like, Mysterio, I have no idea what that means, but cool. Sounds like a cool name. Sounds like drugs are involved.
He's actually, he's a character that has a big giant fishbowl on his head.
Fishbowl.
I'm going to look it up.
It's scary, right? I mean, nothing will intimidate you more than a guy walking around with a fishbowl on his head.
Oh, well, you can't actually see his face, though. It's like, it's the fishbowl itself is scary. It's like, where are you going to put that?
Oh, yeah, you can't see his face, so you can just, oh, it's going to be another Groot situation, right? Like, yeah, we all know who's behind Groot, but is he really?
I am Mysterio.
That doesn't have the same kind of ring to it.
It doesn't, but Vin Diesel should voice him. Vin Diesel should voice Jake Gyllenhaal's role in the movie, and I think that would be fantastic.
Nobody. Has anyone seen the poster for Shazam? Has anyone seen that?
Was that real?
Yeah, it's real.
Like where he's sipping a Capri Sun or something, and he just looks all goofy? That's real?
Yeah, that's real. It's cool. And the whole tagline with big but with superpowers, I mean, that's all a real thing.
Is that what Shazam is? I thought it was a legit superhero character like Superman.
He is a legit superhero character like Superman. However, he is a 12-year-old boy who turns into a grown-ass man by saying Shazam.
Oh, I like that.
That's interesting. Is that true? That's how that works?
That's how that works. He's a 12-year-old boy who, and the whole thing with Shazam is that, like, the word Shazam means, like, each letter stands for a different, like, Greek god kind of thing. So, yeah, he's a 12-year-old boy who has a great heart, and a wizard bestows the power on him. And that, so whenever he says it, he turns into this grown man with Superman-like powers, only he's magic as opposed to being an alien.
That's actually kind of cool, because what does a kid do with superpowers? You know, like instant superpowers. You know what I mean? That's kind of a cool idea. I had no idea.
Gets an ass ton of ice cream. That's what he does. He just gets like nothing but Twizzlers, and he kicks the bully's ass immediately. That's what I'd do when I was 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see something like that.
Yeah. Let me make a milkshake and drink it through a red vine, you know?
Yes! That's a movie I want to see. Good job. Sean gets this. Moving on. Zombieland 2 is looking to come back in 2019 with the original cast, and it's written by the guys, supposedly, who did Deadpool, because they wrote the first one, and they're going to be coming back. So what do you guys think of that? Do you want more Zombieland, or is it a little too late for that?
If you would have asked me at least 5 years ago, I'd be excited. But, okay.
I still think they could, you know, Zombieland was great, right? It came out of nowhere. It had a lot of comedy to it, and it was still kind of brutal and had a great cast. I mean, if it's still going to be the same cast, now they're like 10 years, was this 10 years ago? Really?
Yeah.
So they're 10 years older, you know, like Abigail Breslin. I think, you know, the cool part about her being in the movie before is because she was like a young girl. And it just kind of worked with that. Emma Stone, love her and everything. Jesse Eisenberg is cool. I love Woody Harrelson, though. He's just always a good time on screen, especially in that movie. So I think I'm excited. I'd have to see it. I think I am. Thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But I still need to see a trailer. But I have 90% chance I'm going to be into it.
See, I think the timing of this is kind of great because I think we're on the downward spiral of the whole zombie storytelling arc at the moment, and for this, like, to me, yeah, we had a couple movies that introduced us to the zombie storytelling thing, but nothing made it more open to everybody than the original Zombieland. That kind of opened the idea up for more people who wouldn't normally go see zombie stuff, and that was kind of brought it to the forefront. So to see the swan song of this genre for at least for hopefully a couple of years to be Zombieland is a perfectly good way to bookend the whole genre for a little while.
I mean, the cast is the hardest thing. I think Woody Harrelson, he looks like he's up for anything. Jesse Eisenberg and Abigail Breslin are both like, yeah, we'll do it. Well, of course you will. What else is going on? It's really Emma Stone. That's the one that I see as the hard get, because we're talking an Oscar winner. So she's either getting a sweet ass paycheck she really loves those people and she wants to do that again, or they're going to pay her. She's going to, her entire salary is going to be more than the first Zombieland cost to make.
She'll get something on the back end.
Yeah, she will. And Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, they're the writers from the original Zombieland. They wrote Deadpool, Deadpool 2 with Ryan Reynolds. They're going to be behind it. They're the ones that leaked this or said this. So they're the ones claiming it's going to happen. I'm pretty pumped, man. If they can get the whole cast back, I'm excited because I'd love to see more zombie kills of the week and, you know, try to break out some more rules, double tap and everything else. It's just,
did they leak magic. By doing a demo reel of the movie?
No. They didn't do that. Only Ryan Reynolds does that. But maybe Emma Stone will leak it once they put one together. Who knows?
Right.
All right.
Well, they got the comedy part on point, right? With Deadpool 2. Like, they're nailing random comedy right now. So that's going to be cool.
They're great writers. They really are. They're great comedy writers. Moving on, we just went through a wave of TV cancellations. And shows like Lucifer and others were canceled. Some were retooled. Some had so much drama, they had to quit Twitter. There was all kinds of things going on. Even switched networks. Brooklyn Nine-Nine switched networks. The Expanse went to Amazon. There's all this stuff is going on. You guys ever get hit emotionally by these kinds of changes? Like where it just hits you right in the gut?
You know, there's a couple of shows I was really into, like Hannibal. And then I heard, oh, it's getting canceled. So I just never finished that final season. And there's some shows like Ash versus Evil Dead just got canceled. Mm. I mean, after watching the very final episode of that, it's like, where could they have gone from there? It's kind of like it got canceled. Like they were 9 episodes in. They're like, oh, we're canceling the show. Like, oh, we got to put together one more episode. Let's make this crazy. It didn't make any sense. But, you know, there's so many shows right now. No one can keep up with all of it. I hear you guys talk about it on the podcast all the time. Like, I don't have enough time. Like, unless it's like the best show ever, I don't have the time for right now. And it's hard to keep up with everything. The Terminator versus the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I was really into that. And that got canceled. Ooh, yeah. I never even watched Firefly, but that's what I ever hear people talk about when they talk about being sad over something being canceled. It's just what came to mind when I thought about this, but you know what? It's hard to get, I don't know, you know?
You know, he brought up a couple of things that I think are on point, which are the fact that right now there are just so many things. It's hard to be heartbroken over some things, but like this whole thing with Lethal Weapon, we talked about it off and on. It's to the point where I don't even care anymore. I'm sure that because they just announced Sean William Scott's going to be the quote unquote Riggs role.
Riggs-ish. But, he's going to be a new Riggs-ish. Riggs, maybe brother or something. Yeah.
I'd have more respect for them if they like brought him on as like a Mike Lowry kind of character. So he's the complete kind of opposite of Riggs, where he's this trust fund guy who is trying to get a kick out of life. I would think that'd be a much better idea, and that might actually convince me to stick with the show, but I'm over it. I'm tired of hearing about nonsense like that. The ones that kind of hurt me the most, and it's like one of the reasons why I stay away from anything on Sci-Fi Channel, speaking of The Expanse, is Stargate Universe. When they canceled that, they canceled it on a cliffhanger, and it completely broke my heart because everything you look at on that show has a high rating. It outrates the two predecessor shows that it had, and it was a completely different kind of storytelling that they were doing, an awesome like feel to it. And yet they canceled it. And again, a high-rated show, and Sci-Fi's like, oh, we can't afford this. Broke my heart. Really upsets me when they kind of do that. They had Alphas, which is another one that kind of that one was like the final straw for me. Sci-Fi is done for me, and I'm a little excited to hear that Expanse is going to Amazon, because now I might actually check it out because Amazon will at least give it a shot, I think. But it happens. It's unfortunate. But I think Sean's right when he says there's just so much now that I don't have time to be brokenhearted over anything.
It's really difficult. But there are some times where I just get punched in the stomach. Firefly was a big one. When they started talking that up, and it might come back as a movie and da-da-da-da way back in the day, 2004, whenever that was. I was stunned, and it felt like my life took a turn for the better when that happened. It's just like, finally, somebody's making my thing happen, because it happened to Star Trek, and it's really, at that point, the only show that it had happened to. And Firefly finally came back, and it became Serenity and everything else, and that was great. But when it got canceled, they had screwed it up so much. I mean, you know, a lot of people know the talk about it, but they don't really know what happened. You know, they aired it out of order. The pilot was in the – everything was in the wrong order, and the series was never really got a fair chance. Now, that's Fox's Coda, but still, it doesn't make it hurt any less. And there's so many other shows that they let run forever. Meanwhile, you have good shows that just get canceled. Lucifer, a lot of fans love that one. Lethal Weapon is really – I can't remember the last time something hit me so emotionally as a TV show getting retooled.
You've been kind of inconsolable for at least 3 weeks. Seriously? You going on vacation was probably the best thing that happened to you.
I was kind of bummed I couldn't read up on what was going on now. I mean, when you get more details and you see Damon Wayans is going on a really mean Twitter attack against Clayton Crawford after the guy had already been fired and replaced. And then some people speak out and say that, well, Wayans was kind of being a diva. I mean, I don't know what happened, and I don't claim to know what happened, but I know every time something else comes out, it's like, as a fan, it's just punching me in the stomach. And I'm like, you people get such a luxury from us. Like, your lifestyle is such a luxury because of fans. You should be a lot more respectful and just think of the fans a little bit more. Now, Clayton Crawford, he's handling it very classy. He's very low-key. He's not really doing a whole lot. Damon Wayans is now. I think Fox kind of told him, get your ass back in the corner because he was getting a little crazy. But that one is probably the biggest gut punch I've had with a television issue since Firefly.
I was at first disappointed with Brooklyn Nine-Nine being canceled. I was floored with them canceling it. And then I was happy that NBC's picking it back up again. But still, what are they thinking over there? It has to be one of their more popular shows that they have. And they're just let's get rid of it.
Honest question. If you look at the ratings, the shows that are canceled, including Lucifer, shows that I dig, are not doing that well. Brooklyn Nine-Nine has never been good in the ratings. It's always been a critical hit. If you look at its ratings, they are anemic. So it's not like they're canceling them because people are watching the shit out of them. They're canceling them because nobody's watching it. So why do people get so angry about that? Just because you love something doesn't mean it's doing well. I mean, I can't tell you how many things I love that flopped.
Do you think Netflix has to do with this? Because Netflix is putting out a lot of shows, and you know they give you the entire season right away, so people just they just bathe in it, right? Oh, new season's out. This is what I'm gonna be doing for the entire week. Netflix is putting out some good stuff. I thought The Get Down was fantastic the first season, and I didn't get to the second season right away, and then I heard that got canceled. So I'm like, I'm not gonna watch the second season if it's already canceled. There's no reason for me to start it knowing that it's not going to have a successful ending, or not a successful, but you know, a conclusion.
I don't know if it's so much Netflix because, and I know that's the common go-to, and I get that because it's really
easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy and it makes sense. I mean, when you think about it, that they've got so much content, it's hard for networks and other cable companies to compete, but this has been going on for a long time. Networks cancel shows that people aren't watching. It's that simple. And just because we love it. I mean, look at Jericho. Jericho got canceled. Fans brought it back. But they only brought it back for 6 episodes because people – and when it came back, people still weren't watching it. So they aren't making money. They're not going to just keep running it just because we – you know, a very vocal minority loves it. So I get when they cancel shows as long as they're canceling the shows that make sense to fans, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Ratings-wise. I mean, if it makes sense rating-wise, I get it. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I totally get it. I don't know what NBC is thinking other than the fact that they have a relationship with Andy Samberg.
I think they're going to have to start writing TV shows. They're going to start having to write an ending to every season just in case. Like, it's just going to be more common to every season looking like there's an ending to it just in case.
We need to start getting away from cliffhangers. You agree with that?
Some cliffhangers are good. Game of Thrones does it good, right? Game of Thrones does like a cliffhanger. Like, you're like, oh, damn, that's a cliffhanger. There's like no ending, you know, because we know Game of Thrones is going to go, and then now they have a final season coming. But they do great cliffhangers because they're so confident that they got more coming, you know. But some shows, they do a cliffhanger, and then you're like, oh, they didn't even pick that back up. Damn it.
It's kind of offensive to me that if they're writing a show and they're on the bubble. That's what it's called, is on the bubble, and they don't know if they're coming back or not. And they still write this huge cliffhanger. Like, Lucifer didn't know if it was coming back, and they apparently wrote a huge cliffhanger. I haven't watched it yet. And to me, that's kind of insulting. It's like, it's kind of betting against the audience in a way.
Or at least do a fan film, right? Not a fan film, but a film for the fans, like a 2 hour or something to wrap it up.
The thing that for Lucifer, actually, as I understand it, Lucifer is getting two additional episodes at the to make up for that cliffhanger ending.
I don't think they're two additional. I think they're two episodes that were already filmed for another season or something that just never aired or something. I think.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but you know, I don't have it handy.
It's such a tough time, and I know a lot of these things are people love and adore, because I mean, I love and adored Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I don't rush to watch 90% of the things that are out there anymore. And I think that's part of what's going on, is that there's so much of the people who are watching TV when it's on aren't the people who are making the votes for the people who are watching TV when they can. Mm-hmm. So I think like there's a bit of a difference in the genders, not genders, but generations here. Sure, the baby boomers are what's really driving the rating system in a lot of ways, because they're watching TV as it's on. That's their habit. That's how they did it. That's how they continue to do it. And that's they're gonna watch TV on a schedule demanded by TV until the day they die. But then you have Generation X and underneath, who have developed a habit of watching TV on demand. So whenever they're ready to sit down and do things, because they're making more time to live life, but also enjoy their TV. I think that's where the problem comes in. So I think part of it is that the ratings, sure, they're showing that baby boomers aren't watching it, but what about the other ways of appreciating this media?
You know, there's some good in it. Great, because you can really watch shows like that, right? You can watch Netflix shows, just get into it, watch a whole season. But also you lose out in the discussion. Like, oh, Walking Dead was on this week. Everyone's talking about it for a week until the next one. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, an episode comes out. Everyone kind of talks about it. You know, Westworld right now, I finally listened to Aaron's Westworld podcast, and I haven't watched the episode yet, but I said this week I'm going to listen to his podcast first and then watch the episode, because that show is confusing.
You get spoiled the hell out of it, and then you're like, I'm going to listen to Beyond Westworld, then watch the episode. I like it. I like that way.
I thought, I tried it once, because a show like that, it's so deep and confusing, and there's so much theories going around. But that's the kind of show that's good weekly, right? Can you imagine if we got Westworld? Here's 10 episodes of Westworld. You're like, what do I do with this? You know, this is like a smorgasbord, right? This is like going to the buffet, right? It's just there's too much there. You're going to the buffet in a full stomach.
That's true.
You know, yeah, but that happens with shows on Netflix all the time, or even Amazon shows that drop all at once. You still have the same thing. You watch it. You consume it right there and then, or you wait until watch it later. So
there's good and bad in it, is what I'm saying. Yeah, there's it's great, and then it also kind of sucks because you miss out on something.
I mean, you don't get that water cooler thing. Even if it's on Netflix and it drops, you might get it for like a week, and then it's done. And you never hear about it again until the next season comes out. Stranger Things went a little bit longer, so that's like the exception. But typically, that's the way it works. I agree with what Sean's saying. Westworld, stuff like that. You're not getting much time to talk it up, and it's having a hard time building an audience. But then again, that's what all of network TV is, and apparently they're just running for the hills. So they need more Westworld shows and less Brooklyn Nine-Nines. Yeah, I said it.
Well, you're fine to say that. Maybe it's time to – this is when we need to really start reinventing the wheel as far as network shows are concerned, and stop spend the money more smartly instead of just dumping it into a format because they've been doing it for 40 years.
Amen, brother. Amen. Except keep making a YFFO, because that's my fun show. And since you screwed up Lethal Weapon, that's all I got at this point for fun.
You know, on that subject, I'm kind of excited for Magnum P.I.
I am too. People keep saying they want him to have a mustache. I'm like, don't you do that. That mustache belongs in the 80s. It's from the 80s. It belongs here. Only Tom Selleck can do that. Goatee is fine by me. I like it.
I love kick-ass lady
Higgins.
Higgins. Yeah.
As long as they don't have a romantic entanglement.
I don't want that at all. That better not happen. That would be ridiculous. Or even like playing with any sort of like sexual tension between the two of them, because I would still see the old Higgins in the new Higgins.
You see Tom Selleck trying to bang the old Higgins in your head? That's what you see when you watch the new show? That's weird.
Made it better for Sean.
No. I just, because I didn't hear about this Magnum PI, so I clicked on it real quick on Google. The first thing that popped up is new Magnum PI has fake Ferrari, fake Tom Selleck.
fake news, fake TV, fake everything. Shut up. Ooh, he doesn't need that stupid mustache. Look, Tom Selleck wore the mustache. Magnum doesn't need the mustache. As long as he's cool as hell, and Jay Hernandez is a cool actor, so.
Yeah, he is. I'll check this out. I like colorful things, bright things. You know, not everything has to be so dark and gloomy, but, you know, everyone's always just need something that's fun.
Fun.
Yeah. Hawaii. Sun. Sounds great.
That's what Lethal Weapon used to be before they got all bitchy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Magnum P.I. being the new Lethal Weapon for me. The only thing that I'm kind of tisking them for, I don't believe I just said tisk, but anyhow, only thing I'm tisking them for is like
that. You do it again?
Yeah, I did. The first commercial for it was like, these are my friends. One of them dies. And then I will solve it. Oh, come on, man. Can you just give us a little bit of mystery first? Like, let us figure out what you're going to do.
Like, if you want a mystery, yo, I'll solve it. Like, that's how the commercial was.
I mean, now I'm sold again. But no, the preview for the show was, here are my best friends, and then one of them dies in the preview.
That's horrible. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's a thing in the preview. Like, tease me a little bit. Don't just show me the whole thing.
Yeah, tease me, guy.
Speaking of nonsense, I have to bring this up because it's kind of disturbing and also hilarious. None of us have seen Show Dogs, correct?
Correct.
It's a kids movie, and judging by the box office, nobody's seen it. But some moms are apparently railing against taking kids to see the movie, and here's why. This is from Tarina Maldonado, a parent reviewer for the Macaroni Kid website, and it went to CNN. That's the only reason I'm bringing this up. I'm like, wow, it's going national with this nonsense. This is what Tarina says. Max is a talking police dog, voiced by Ludacris. So now I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, me too.
Right? He's paired up with a human partner, Frank, who's played by Will Arnett, to infiltrate a prestigious dog show and rescue a kidnapped baby panda. Since the inspection of the private parts will happen in the finals, Frank touches Max's private parts to get him used to it. Of course, Max doesn't like it and snaps at Frank for him to stop. Max is then told by the, I gotta read all this because I can't just pull. I can't guess. Max is then told by the former Max is then told by the former champion who has been through the process before that he needs to go to his Zen place while it happens so he can get through it. I shouldn't laugh because of where this goes. More attempts are made by Frank to touch Max's private parts, but Max is still having trouble letting it happen and keeps snapping at him. I shouldn't giggle. I feel like I'm 12. The day of the finals come, and if Max doesn't let his private parts be touched, he may lose the competition in any hope of finding the kidnapped panda. It all rests on his ability to let someone touch his private parts. The judge's hands slowly reach behind Max and goes to his Zen place. He's flying to the sky, dancing with his partner. There are fireworks and flowers. Everything is great, all while someone is touching his private parts. So, a stranger touches Max's privates, and it must feel good because Max has gone to his happy place while being fondled. They are calling this grooming and saying parents shouldn't take their kids to see it. Discuss.
Mm-mm. You know, no. This is hard to discuss just by reading. Okay, after you read that, I read this morning. I actually read the whole thing, guys.
Mm-hmm.
When you break things down like that, it sounds creepy and weird, but I had to see it. You know what I mean? It's a talking dog, right? The dog talks. It's ludicrous, you know? Me and my homies. You know, like, it's a talking... I don't know. This is weird, dude. I can't really give you...
Like, I understand where Sean's coming from. Like, to have this part of the story told to us, it makes it sound like, you know, it can't be that bad. But it's enough that parents are talking about it. The articles that we saw earlier today, one was done by the mother who's actually saw the movie with her kids and who actually says the movie was enjoyable. These parts bothered her. Correct. And then the other article was by somebody who didn't see the movie, but took that article and decided to piggyback off of it. And whereas one mother's like, no, you should use this as an opportunity to tell your kids that this is not good and healthy or anything else. Like, the other one's like, screw these people, screw the movie, blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's the thing that's interesting to me, and not funny, not sad, just interesting, is that the woman who saw the movie said, this is a great opportunity to talk to your kids because it's going to bring up a topic that is not comfortable for anyone. And you can talk to your kids about what grooming is, and, you know, look up grooming if you don't know what it is, because I'm not going into that here. But you can get the idea of just based on the description. And then the other person who hasn't seen the movie is the one inciting the outrage. So the mom who did see the movie is not the one that's trying to make this into an outrageous thing. It's the person that hasn't seen the movie that takes to the internet and made it go national.
Which is crazy to believe. Have you guys seen Peter Rabbit?
I have. Yes. You did? Okay.
No, actually, no, wait. No, I haven't, but I know where he's going with this.
Okay, Peter Rabbit was actually a great... I actually love Peter Rabbit. It was a great movie. But, you know, there's that big article about someone getting mad about the food allergies part, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was some big thing about food allergies. But in fact, when I watched the movie was about rabbits who killed a human, who celebrated the human's death, and threw a party at his house because the human was dead. And no one was talking about that. They were just talking about food allergies.
So it was great, though. You loved it?
It was actually a really good movie. But I'm just saying, like, things get spun out of control. And everyone's like, oh, food allergies. Oh, how dare they? My kid your kid might have allergies, but it doesn't mean they can't make a joke about it.
Yeah, the joke in it is that where parents are blowing up about it is that the rabbits who are, their lives are being threatened by a human being left and right. And there's an attempted rabbit side at every corner by this specific human being. The parents are upset because the trailer showed that they use the human's food allergy to try to kill him with that. So they're saying that kids will watch that. They'll see the food allergy being used to kill somebody, and then their kid is dead because some other kid got that idea from the movie to kill their kid with food allergy.
Yeah, you know what? Back in the day, we had Home Alone, so we knew a lot of ways to kill people, and we didn't do it.
Yeah, and if the movie Better Watch Out taught us anything, the Home Alone gag works.
You better hope more people see that, because most people don't understand what the hell you just said.
That was great.
Well, see, I'm hoping that just saying that, which it's now on Netflix, I believe, will get more people to watch it.
Back to Show Dogs. The
damn it.
The one thing about this is that this is all stuff that kind of happens for Show Dogs. So they're making it dirtier than I think it's meant to be. I think it's just meant to be stupid. You know, kids giggle at stuff like this. You know, it's when a dog's being, it's a talking dog. So yeah, but it's not like a child. It's an adult talking dog, I think. So does that make a difference if the dog is older? If the dog's consenting, does that make a difference? I don't know where the rules are on this. It's a dog and it talks. I don't know.
Yeah. The way that she wrote that, it really is making it seem like, what I picture is like when a child gets molested by an adult and he goes to a zen place and his happy place and all that stuff. And I doubt at all that's what the movie's like portraying. It's just spun around in this weird way to get people to get freaked out about it.
It's just weird that it's the lady that didn't see the movie that's sparking the outrage. And I can't understand. We live in a society now where the people that actually see the thing don't say to be freaked out about it. They say use it as an opportunity to teach your children something. The lady that didn't see it reads what the other lady who did see it, saw it said, and she's the one that says, you know what? That deserves outrage. Doesn't go to see it first and judge for herself. Instead, just jumps on it because that gives her the opportunity to write an article and get some press. That's just sad.
Mm-hmm. Now she gets her 15 minutes of fame on The Hollywood Outsider.
Hey, I just linked. The only link I gave you was to the original article. I'm not. There's no link to that lady, the lady that started it. You can dig for her.
I don't think we even named her.
Nope. Well, be sure to visit our website for reviews, podcasts, and more at thehollywoodoutsider.com and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Patreon supporters, before we get to our upcoming releases, we want to take a second and extend our thank you to you. Thank you for donating at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. There's a new episode that should be coming up in the next week. We're waiting on a vote to tell us if it's going to be a solo spoiler cast exclusive to Patreon, or it's going to be a bad movie night for Face Off. It's going to be one of those two. So there's a vote up there. If you're a Patreon supporter, hurry up. I think you got just hours to vote. So hurry up. All right. Now let's move on to some upcoming releases. John, what's coming out?
All right. So coming up first on the 25th of May, we have Beauty Mark. An empowering story inspired by true events, a poverty-stricken young mother is forced to move when her house is condemned. With no money, no options, she must confront an abusive past and save her family. This is written and directed by Harris Doran, stars Madison Easeman and Deidre Lovejoy. If anyone remembers Madison Easeman, she was actually in Jumanji, so I thought that was pretty cool. Then we have on May 25th, Solo, A Star Wars Story. During an adventure in a dark criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the rebellion. This is by, I thought it was interesting, the only director listed is Ron Howard. I guess that much of the movie is gone now.
True.
And it stars Alden Ehrenreich. I that sounds ghost enough for me. Woody Harrelson, Emilia Clarke, and Donald Glover are all in that movie. Then on June 1st, and we're going to do both because we are actually off next week. Both. So next week we have on June 1st, Adrift. Based on the true story of survival, a young couple's chance encounter leads them to the first love. Then the adventure of a lifetime faces of it. It basically turns into Don't Go Out to Sea. Let's just not do that. Starring Shailene Woodley and Sam Claflin.
I'm glad you paraphrased that because what you were saying made no sense. So
yeah,
thank you.
Just don't go out to sea. Then on June 1st, we also have Action Point, a daredevil designs and operates his own theme park with his friends, starring Johnny Knoxville and Bridget Lundy Payne.
I like Knoxville stuff. Even though it's completely stupid, it'll make me laugh for some dumb reason. So I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah, sometimes turning off your brain is good for you. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I always do that. There's the turn on mode. What?
Then we have on June 1st, and there's a review of this one on the website, Upgrade.
Yes.
Set in the near future, technology controls nearly all aspects of life. But when Gray, a self-identified technophobe, has his world turned upside down, his only hope is revenge in an experimental computer chip implant called STEM. This is from writer-director Lee Wallen and stars Logan Marshall Green.
So what do you guys give it on the website?
I think it was 8 or 8.50. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm.
Right. I loved it.
Who reviewed it?
Me.
Oh, Aaron gave you gave an 8 or an 8. Okay, then I guess I'll have to watch it. If you give something an 8, solid.
I'm a ninja. We are not a ninja. Mary Shelley, also on VOD on June 1st. The love affair between poet Percy Shelley and 18-year-old Mary, I'm not going to even bother saying this last name because it's way too many. It turns out she becomes Mary Shelley. Surprise. Which resulted in Mary Shelley writing Frankenstein. This stars Ben Hardley and Elle Fanning. These are all coming up in the next 2 weeks. Shawnee, you're our guest. Which one are you going to go see?
Well, definitely going to see Solo in the theater. Everyone's going to go see Solo. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a good time in the theater. But Beauty Mark actually looks pretty cool. So I'll watch Solo in the theater. I'll watch Beauty Mark. If it's on VOD, I will watch that at home.
All right, Aaron.
Do that. And the interview, I think you mentioned the interview. That interview with the director is great. So check it out in the feed. He's a great guy to talk to. And once you see the movie first, then listen to it. It's really interesting. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen two of these movies and I would pick them both before Solo because Beauty Mark is a really hard-hitting flick that will get you right in the feels. Do they still say that?
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it.
Great. I really, really enjoyed that movie. And enjoy is not the right word, but it was a really interesting movie to watch because we're talking about a woman confronting her rapist or molester, however you want to look at it. And when she does so, you kind of get a perspective from the assailant, which is unique in a way. And I really liked that dynamic. And also, she's not a great character. Like, she's not a great person in the movie because she's so damaged. And it's just really interesting dynamic and dichotomy. So I definitely check that out.
That came out today. That's already out.
Yeah, came out today, man. It should be out right now as you listen to this podcast. So be sure to watch it. It's good. It's really good.
I'll watch Beauty Mark this weekend. Let you know what I think.
Upgrade? Upgrade's awesome. And it's one of those movies where you watch, and I think it's one that you'll be watching again several times because it's so kick-ass and absurd. And when he goes into beast mode, basically, I was pumping my fists. I saw this with Brian Williams, and we were pumping our fists. We were getting all giddy. We were like stomping our feet. See it in the theater. I would rather see that in the theater than Solo.
Hmm. Well, let me follow it up with, I'd rather go see Upgrade. I will likely see Solo because of responsibilities and stuff like that, Everybody but I'm really excited for Upgrade.
Dude, Childish Gambino. Enough said.
You know what?
Bless you.
That song is awful. The video is really cool, but that This Is America song is awful.
I think it's supposed to be awful on purpose, though. It's about just America and how sloppy they are with the rapping nowadays. It's just like that panda song. Panda, 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 panda. It's just how music's going, man. He's making fun of it. And then the video is freaking awesome.
The video's awesome, but are you sure that maybe it just didn't suck and they're just trying to spin it to be cool?
Because he doesn't rap like that normally. I listen to a lot of his music. Ever since I started watching Atlanta, I really started paying attention to Donald Glover. I think he's a genius, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah, there's something about that song where it doesn't work without the video. And I think that's an actual purposeful stroke, because it's like a little mini movie in itself. There's layers to it. There's depth to it. There's something going on. And it does, like, the visuals don't work without the music, and the music doesn't work without the visuals.
Yeah, I don't think it's on an album or anything. I think it's a one-off, I think. Could be wrong.
What do you guys think about, I think we can all agree that Adrift, none of us are going to see. Action Point, maybe. Mary Shelley could be an interesting rental. But Solo, you've got two movies. Because it was originally Lord Miller, they got fired, and then Ron Howard Opie was brought in to set this ship right. Basically because he's more of a company man is what it sounds like. Are you nervous about this one at all? Or not?
I actually didn't know about any of that stuff, so you just said it, kind of. So I'll skip Solo. I'm still going to go. I just want to go to the theater, have a good time. That's why I love MoviePass. Big shout out to MoviePass. You just go see movies you want to see or half want to see or whatever. And it's like, you know what I mean? You don't feel the pressure of like, oh, do I want to spend the money right now to see a movie? You just go. And so, Solo!
Okay. John, are you nervous? I don't know what to follow. I have to say to follow that. So.
Yeah, I'm not nervous about it because I've been hearing things that say that it's going to be okay or at least be good. People are saying that Deadpool marks the signs of people having comic book fatigue, which that's stupid for them to say. Mm-hmm. This to me is more like I oddly have Star Wars fatigue at the moment.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. I really should be a lot more excited for it than I am. And even especially with Ron Howard directing it, I should be like, oh, thank God they saved it by bringing Ron Howard in here. Thank God it's Friday. But no, it's more so like I kind of have Star Wars fatigue. I kind of have a fatigue over the idea that I just, yeah, it's cool and everything, but something just happened.
They've had a lot. And then Last Jedi wasn't received as well as they had hoped. So I think there's probably going to be a little bit of, when people go see it, they're a little nervous, but I'm sure it'll be good. I mean, Ron Howard's a good director.
Yeah.
You know, I jumped on the Star Wars train way late, you know, after Episode 7. That's when I started getting into it and watching stuff. And I don't really watch movies twice. I did watch Episode 7 twice, but I didn't watch Rogue One more than once. And I didn't watch, you know, the last Jedi more than once. So I don't really have fatigue because I haven't watched like movies multiple times or anything, or just really been in it for very long, so I'm cool with it.
All right. Well, we'll see what everybody thinks of Solo once it's out. What's this movie? We're not going to have one this week, but last week's clip was Angela's pick, and that movie was Dark City. There's only two of y'all that got it right, and that's Will Ross and Nate Bruce, so congrats to y'all. Good job. And
yeah, if anyone was going to get that right, those two would be the ones.
I got a clip for you guys. Hold on. We have to play it. Hold on to your butts.
That's okay. Your clip. Your Samuel L. Jackson impression. Jurassic Park. Nailed it.
Not really, but yeah, you got it.
All right. Our From the Outside In topic, moving right along. In May, the classic film Willow, speaking of Ron Howard, will turn 30 years old. It already did turn 30 years old. It was one of those fantasy films that was supposed to spawn a series of films. That's what it was meant to do. And then it was released, and it didn't do so well, or barely registered. Whatever the reason, no more movies, no franchise, one and done. So as we head full steam into summer season, because that's kind of what Memorial Day signifies, and all of the sequels, the prequels, the spinoffs, and everything we're going to get, let's first look at those little engines that could have but didn't. The franchises that never happened. The ones we really wanted but never came to fruition. So we're all film fans here, right? We all like movies?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Bring me back, Willow.
Val Kilmer was so cool in that movie. Have you ever been legitimately crushed when a movie you loved that you knew would make a great franchise didn't connect with everybody else? Sean?
You know, I'm not going to say super crushed, but I really did love Sucker Punch, and I wish they would have done more with that movie. I thought that movie was a lot of fun. One of the first movies I saw on IMAX. I don't know it was supposed to have anything planned after just the one movie. But that was some, I could go for more stuff like that visually and just fun and weird and also dark at the same time. I really like Sucker Punch a lot. And Ghostbusters, I like the new Ghostbusters with the women.
Me too.
Guys, yeah, I want more too. Ghostbusters. I love Kristen Wiig. That's still my crush. So I was a little disappointed that, you know, people didn't like it. And I actually went. Everybody I went with had a good time. And then everyone's like, it sucks. You can't like that because it sucked. I'm like, well, I had a good time. So shut up.
Good for you.
I like the idea of Sucker Punch getting a franchise out of it. I actually love that movie. I love the visuals behind it. Sure, people can say every little negative thing about it, but I think it's just fine. I think it's a fun, awesome movie, and it's just beautiful to look at. So I think it's okay. Mine was actually Tron Legacy. I couldn't believe nobody picked up on that. I couldn't believe that nobody loved that as much as I did. I just, again, something that I was just mesmerized with on screen, and I enjoyed what they could have, where they could have taken it. And yeah, I had so many hopes and dreams for where that was going to go. And it just fizzled out and didn't do anything. And I was just shocked.
You know, that's one that really weirded me out because it made a decent amount of money. I think they just it cost too much to make. It made like 170 million bucks, 300 million worldwide, something like that. It's not a flop by any means, but for whatever reason, they didn't consider it jump on the quick train of Richville with that movie or like a series or anything else.
I mean, they must have filmed it in a green like warehouse. That's all they had to do.
Well, I'm sure there's more to it. It's not like they just go to a green warehouse and then bam, Tron 3.
And actually gross revenue enough? Was 400 million. Is that
green? How green can we make it, Jim? Greener.
Like, dude, you're wearing a green shirt. This does not work. You have like no torso right now. Oh, I don't know. You know.
I just looked it up. Gross revenue was $400 million.
What? Yeah, see? So it did really well worldwide. I mean, but I think it cost like $200 million to make. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mine, the one that really crushed me, I remember, and you guys, we were kind of already talking about it, but I remember when Universal scooped up Firefly to make it Serenity. It was like Christmas morning to me. Christmas morning. I absolutely loved that series. So when the film was released, I remember it just like it was yesterday. And it was like 13 years ago, but it feels like yesterday. I told everybody I knew that we had to go see it. I supported the movie. I bought so much memorabilia. It was ridiculous. I don't remember what else. I did so much to try to, I don't know, grassroots that promotion and just run and make everybody go see it. I had a big group that went and everything. And then I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. I thought they nailed everything. This was the Han Solo movie everybody really wanted, but they just didn't know about it, apparently. Because nobody went and saw it. It had a horrible release date, bad marketing, one of the worst posters I've ever seen, and ultimately it flopped. Killed the chance of a franchise forever. And I'm still sad. To this day, I put that movie in and I cry.
You know, I was on vacation from 2002 to 2007, so I missed out on everything in there. I'm not sure. I honestly did. It's not even a joke. And it's weird how many times I hear that brought up. So I feel like I know that. But I haven't seen it, but I feel like I know Firefly and what was the movie called again?
Serenity.
Serenity.
Serenity. I feel like I know those and I just constantly, I'm listening to podcasts, it just constantly gets brought up. So I feel like, Aaron, you're definitely not alone.
You know, I was on a different kind of vacation between 2002 and 2007, and it somehow missed me too. But when I did get introduced to the show, it was something I instantly fell in love with. But I got introduced to the show when it was released on Blu-ray or DVD or something. And that's how I initially fell in love with it. And then I got to watch the movie on DVD. And yeah, I loved them both, but it was something that between 2002 and 2007, I was just not checked into the world for different reasons.
Wasn't it the kind of movie that you would expect Han Solo to be had Han Solo had a movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Before this, I mean.
And I love that girl who looks like an actual android. Was Summer Glau.
Summer Glau.
She just looks like an actual robot. Her and that Anna Taylor-Joy girl. It must be like sister androids.
Oh, big eyes?
They just look like robots.
Yes, it's the big eyes. They're look the like test anime
robots
dolls.
For us to get used to robots. They're going to throw them in there. Like, let's make this one an actor, you know, to get robots. People used to robots. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just making sure you said robots at least one more time.
Robots.
Row
your bot. Okay. Done.
Well done. Have there been any that you were so excited for, then you caught it and praise the gods that you knew you never have to live through another one? Like one you were happy they didn't make a franchise?
The one that comes to mind the most is actually Superman Returns. He's one of my favorite characters on the big screen. And when Superman Returns happened, it didn't have the gravitas of Christopher Reeve. It didn't have any sort of, there was nothing that felt really special about it. And Superman was a creeper.
Mm. And a deadbeat dad.
And a deadbeat dad.
Oh, that still makes me mad.
Yeah.
Okay, with mine, I'm going to tell you the movies that I really loved, a couple of them, and the ones that tried to follow it up but didn't work for me. Okay, a little different. So, Taken, first movie, amazing. It never caught on after that, after me. I'd say the 90s Batmans, or the 89 Batman, and then that chain of ones that followed after that, did not like them. Divergent, I thought was fantastic, but it never worked again for me after that. I don't know what happened. Scream was great. Never worked again for me.
Whoa. There I got to stop you and say, shut up. Because that's a great series all the way through and
fight,
through.
Fight. No, I just can't remember any of the other ones after the first Scream. I remember that one so vividly, but I don't remember any other ones. So maybe they are great. Maybe I'm just lying.
Wow.
Lying to myself.
You know? Shut your whore mouth right now. I don't want to hear this anymore. Blah, 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 blah.
Done. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Continue. That's fine.
Okay. Yes. Scream sucks. I mean, Scream was great. Scream 2. No, I don't remember any of the other ones. I don't remember it. I don't. But I remember that first one was so great. I just like it was awesome.
It just overpowered the other ones for you. That's what happened.
Yeah, the rest of them just all I can think of is Scary Movie. It's all just yeah.
Well, it might be slightly better because, you know, Scary Movie.
That was freaking hysterical, man. The first one was really funny.
Started my love affair with Anna Faris. I absolutely adored her, and I think she's amazing just because of that movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you guys something really funny, and I'm gonna make it really awkward.
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
I meant to say Scary Movie, but I said Scream.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Like I was like, I remember Scary Movie. It was hilarious the first one, and then I don't remember the other. I know it's all blur now. It could be either one. I honestly don't know.
Oh shit.
That one just popped in my head. So that was great. So it could be Scream or Scary Movie. I don't know.
Sean, I don't know how to argue with you when I don't know what your point is yet.
Neither do I, but this is great content. I love when I hear John laugh like that. He's really like having a hemorrhoid right now. He's creating a baby hemorrhoid.
Oh, that's funny. My big one is Hulk. Hulk is my big one.
Oh, which one?
Hulk, the Eric Bana Hulk. Cause I absolutely love the series Incredible Hulk, the TV show. I didn't really know the comic that well, but I loved the series. So when the movie with Eric Bana came out, I was on cloud nine. I was super excited and I still can't breathe because Sean made me laugh so hard. And then he made me angry and you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. You know, all that jive. Damn it. But it's like such a cinematic abortion. Everything about that movie is awful. And I don't understand how it got that bad because the cast isn't that bad. Tim Roth is great. And
well, you're talking about two different Hulks now.
I'm not talking about the Incredible Hulk. I meant the Incredible Hulk, the series I loved. Then Hulk was supposed to be what launched a new film series. And it was awful. And thankfully, they didn't make any more of those. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, Tim Roth was in the different Hulk movie, though.
Who was in the Hulk one? I got them all confused.
It was Eric Bana and one of the Sams was chasing him down. One of the mustache dudes.
Oh, Sam Elliott. Yeah, Sam Elliott. Okay.
Sam Elliott was the one that was chasing him down. And there was
Jennifer Connelly? Nick?
Yes, that one was Jennifer Connelly.
Nick Nolte. Yeah, that's why I have the cast. I just had Tim Roth in there for something. Maybe I'm wanting it to be better and it wasn't. But it was just one of those awful, awful movies. Incredible Hulk was actually a decent movie, but it's a completely different series. So
right.
I wanted that to work horribly because I actually thought when Hulk was fighting and whatnot, those scenes were kind of cool. So I dug that. It's just the story and everything else around it was just abysmal.
I thought that one was pretty great. And there's a scene in there that I'll never forget, which is when Hulk racks himself on the barrel of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
He like rips the tank off, but he ends up hitting himself in the giblets with the barrel of it.
And wait,
were you saying
the movie was pretty great or the action scenes were pretty great?
The action scenes were pretty great. I just like my favorite part was actually watching the detail they put into Hulk getting hit in the nuts. like hitting himself in the nuts and being even madder about it.
And the Hulk dogs. What the hell is that about? Why are there Hulk
dogs?
That's
when you kind of lost me.
Do you guys think we'll actually get a new Hulk movie, or you think it's just like Ragnarok was it?
No, you'll just get Ragnarok. You're going to get him showing up in other movies.
Yeah, which is a better way to show him, honestly.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to overdo it, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so break it down. Tell us your three saddest stories of franchises that never happened. Not just the movies themselves. Tell us why it hurt your inner child, so to speak. And you could do all three at each turn. So, Sean, what are your three?
I read this question completely wrong, so I'll let you guys go first.
Okay. Okay, I'll go first. I talked about Serenity. That's my number three. I just love this character so much, and I'm grateful that I got a proper ending to the series, but I really, really, really wanted more. Desperately, still do. I'd still go watch a Serenity Part 2 movie. Number two for me is Goonies. I love Goonies, and throughout the late 80s, early 90s, all I wanted was another film in that series. In any respect, I love those characters. I wanted another adventure. There are so many different ways they could have done with it. I just love the concept of kids getting older as a group, going off and getting into trouble, having adventures, foiling criminals, all that. I just love that. And I really, really love it.
Fighting monsters.
Yeah. And there's no... The movie made money. I never understood why they didn't do another one, but...
One of them does magic.
Of course. Why not? You know, Corey Feldman, I know Corey Feldman would have done it because he'll do literally anything. So I can't imagine the rest of the cast wouldn't have fallen in line.
He's brawling. He's like, one day I'm going to do Marvel's guys. I'm going to be in two Marvel movies in the same month. Just watch.
That is foresight. If that's the case, if you sat around in the late 80s going, I'm going to be Thanos and Cable in the same summer. Good on him. Good on him. Number one for me, movie was a total flop. Didn't make any money. Most people I know hated it, but I absolutely love this movie. It's one of my all-time favorite comedies. It totally could have been a franchise. I would have paid double the admission price to see more of them. The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. I love that movie so much. Andrew Dice Clay is a private dick who only has musicians for clients. He's a rock and roll detective. Oh, everything. I wanted more, more, more. So much more. Still do. But it'd be sad now.
I did not see this conversation going that way.
Yeah, that's the franchise I really wanted, man, most of my life. Because I got more Evil Dead, got that, got more, almost everything. Everything nostalgic really came back for me for the most part. But Adventures of Ford Fairlane was a huge flop. Andrew Dice Clay was kind of written off Hollywood after that.
Hey!
Girl Scouts took two boxes. Oh!
Let him miss Muppet. All right, I'll quit.
Same one. Love that movie.
Welcome to the Ford Fairlane podcast.
Snap ahead. All right, John, go.
All right. So the first two I'm going to bring up are actually, I feel like I'm part of the problem. So the first one that I feel like I really, really missed a boat on getting any further into this franchise was I Am Number Four, which I get it. It was kind of like a alien version of Sparkly Vampires, but it was kind of cool though, because it focused more on the guy, the main character, as opposed to this like the love affair between the sparkly vampire and a girl who's just a cardboard piece of cardboard. I thought it was a really cool idea. I am part of the problem because I didn't run to the theater to go see it. I waited until VOD, and then when I saw it on VOD, I finally went, "Oh, that was a lot of fun!" and read the books and everything. And I think that it's a great series, and we're robbed of something great by not having that.
I've heard a lot of people talk that one up. I've actually never seen it.
I don't know. Well, because you've heard so many people talk it up, I don't know if you should, because you tend to react badly to that.
People say that. But that's not true. I watch it. I'll be fair about it. But just because you say it's great doesn't mean it's going to be great. Sorry.
Well, it's good.
I'm fair.
It's fun. Huh?
I don't want to watch it now. Because now you kind of... I don't... You kind of... That was kind of don't a ruin it. Comment on my personality that I didn't like. So piss right. off. I'm not watching it.
Well then, yeah. I just don't. I really just don't want you to ruin something for me.
I'm glad there was I Am Nona Number Five. I'm glad, whatever the hell the title.
And the next one that I feel like I'm part of the problem with is John Carter. I followed the artwork all my life, and for that series, I followed the book a bit, and I really liked the idea of it, and I always thought it was pretty great. But then the previews came out, and it was kind of like, all right. And then the the media blitz that happened with it kind of didn't do anything for me. And then it took Aaron saying, hey, this John Carter movie, after it was done and out of the theater and on VOD, is actually a good movie to watch. I finally rented it and I love it. It's one of my, I would say, top 50 movies ever made.
Wait, you watched that because of me? You watched that because of me?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I'll watch I Am Number 4 now. I will.
No, don't do it.
I Am Number 4 was good. I like it. But that had Teresa Palmer, right? I love Teresa Palmer. I like it.
Yes. Teresa Palmer was actually, I was reading up on that one, and the thing that they wish they did more of was have more of Teresa Palmer in it, because she is not the love interest, but she is totally kick ass, and they feel like they missed the boat by not having her in it more.
That's who I wanted to be the queen so bad in Aquaman, Teresa Palmer.
Oh my God, you speaking to the choir. Mm-hmm. And then finally,
wait, this one I'm actually, wait. I just got to mention, Sean just made the creepiest I've ever heard in my life. You can continue now.
You know, I'm actually going to appreciate the fact that you had to point out that it was Sean that did it, because I'm sure people would assume it was me.
Fair enough.
All right. No, and then finally, the giggling. One that I'm...
What is wrong with you? Do you need a moment?
Your coffee's kicking in.
Hello. Oh, you sure it wasn't a little bit of crack?
Just a little.
That's my creamer.
Secondhand crack.
All right. Finally, one that I'm surprised it didn't go anywhere was The A-Team.
Oh, yes.
I really kind of love that movie.
That was my number 4, so I'm glad somebody brought it up. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, that was one of those things that I can watch over and over again, and it still just is equally as fun. They flew a tank.
I just caught that on cable, I think, 2 weeks ago. Still holds up. I still can't for life me understand why that didn't make a shit ton of money.
I don't get it.
It was great. It's so much fun. From start to finish, that movie is fun.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, have you figured out the topic yet?
Well, I'm going to wing this. So let's say, let's travel back to 19, whatchamacallit, probably between 85 and 88. Garbage Pail Kids. Let's make that a franchise. I really miss that. It was these creepy little, really? Scary little ugly things that give you nightmares. And I really want that to be a franchise, but it never did. It didn't do well. Nobody liked it. It's probably why it didn't get any praise. But Garbage Pail Kids was awesome. I like it. And it leaves, there's just like this scar in my memory, and it's like a cancerous tumor piece of my memory of this creepy movie. Yeah, let's make more of those. I like that.
Okay.
Street Fighter. I would like to see more Street Fighter movies because, well, I love Street Fighter back then. That was like what got me into video games, kind of almost.
Would you want Jean-Claude Van Damme in it?
I don't know. I guess I'd take anybody who would do it.
Okay.
Anybody who would do the role of Street Fighter, that would be pretty awesome. Also, I'd like to see more Mummy. I like to see Mummy because I love Tom Cruise. So more Mummy movies.
I thought you hate Tom Cruise.
I love Tom Cruise. He's okay. The best.
It depends on the day of the weekend, what you ask.
He's
him.
Making this up. This is all a lie. He didn't like Garbage Pail Kids either, did you?
No. He doesn't even remember what the Garbage Pail Kids are. He was like, you know, they give you nightmares and stuff.
No,
it does not sound like
Garbage Pail Kids. I watched clips recently. You know what, though? Seriously, like E.T. could have been a great franchise.
It was supposed to be. And then Spielberg said, nah.
Mm-hmm. It could have been.
Yeah, that could have been cool. Or it could have ruined it. You know what I mean? It could have totally ruined it. And like, okay, I'm going to piggyback off Aaron, but for real though, Goonies, now that is a great choice because for the same reasons, even like Stand By Me, you know, like just kids doing their thing going on. We have no parents with us. Let's get leeches all over us. You know, weird stuff, you know, stuff that kids do. Let's go walk through the swamps because they're not educated.
I think you missed the point of that movie a little bit.
Yeah, I flubbed this one. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. You know, we've got some cool listener ones though. These are movies that listeners would love to see, and I'm just gonna roll through them. I didn't send all the info. I'll just name their names and what movie they picked. These are movies that they really wish would have been a franchise. Okay, and you can comment on them as we go. Dave McGraw says, "Do I even have to say it at this point? It's The Phantom." What do you think? Would you want to see more Phantom?
Was that the one with Affleck?
Billy Zane. It's got Billy Zane
It's the 90s Affleck.
I don't know. And honestly, I don't know about that one.
I'll tell you. No. That's the answer you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Purple spandex, head to toe, weird, but hey, Dave, it's your pick. So I think I've given him enough grief over that one over the years. Corey Noyes says, I like the movie. I am number four. Okay. There you go, John. And also love the concept and story of the movie Push. You know what? I really dug that movie too. I kind of thought that was a good movie. All right. Tara QT says, Shantaram. Johnny Depp was supposed to be doing it, and then they began filming, but I believe it was in the Warner Brothers fires, and they lost loads of footage and couldn't get Depp to finish it. Gutted because the book was awesome. I never heard of that. Shantaram?
Yeah, I never heard of that either. Maybe it's... what's interesting is that that is something that just did not fire off before they even had a chance. So, yeah, I never heard of it.
Sounds interesting.
Me either.
Kyle Nolan. He's got some interesting ones. Aragon, The Golden Compass, and Alex Rider.
The Golden Compass, I agree with. Aragon, I think they didn't do the book any justice in that. I think the book was pretty amazing, and for them to give us the movie they did was that kind of hurt. Mm-hmm. It felt too much like the Dungeons and Dragons movie, which was also not very good. So yeah, that's where I am with that one.
We never really got a Game of Thrones quality dragon movie, did we?
Dragon Slayer?
I didn't see that.
Dragon Heart? Dennis Quaid was it, or what was the one Sean Connery was the, that was Dragonheart, right?
That was Dragonheart. And so that's not, that's not good.
Shut up. I loved it. Dennis Quaid was in it. It was great. Loved it. Kyle goes on to say, and we never, of course, got Dr. Detroit 2, The Wrath of Mom. Damn right. Dr. Detroit is amazing. That deserved a sequel. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Brian Lowry. Speaking of Lowry's, Push, Aragon, Percy Jackson, Last Starfighter. Okay, Last Starfighter, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm behind Push a lot. That one is a movie that I adored when it first came out in the theater, and I just thought it was fantastic. And it's one of those great things that kind of taught me that we were going to start seeing a different side of Chris Evans, because we did get a different side of Chris Evans in that. He wasn't so jokey, and he was a little bit more serious.
Oh, I'm looking at it, because I was like, what is Push? I remember this cover. I don't remember the movie, but yeah.
I hope you're not looking on Pornhub, because it's a different movie.
Oh.
Sherry Odom, The Dark Tower. Yes, I would still like to see something more from that universe, whether it's a TV show or whatever. I really dug the movie, so.
Yeah, I love the look of The Dark Tower, just that. It was pretty cool. Visually, that was a great movie.
Kyle Boggs, Tron Legacy was supposed to get a direct sequel, never got one, which totally sucks. I love that movie.
Yeah,
it's got feelings. Leslie Plunkett, she says Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal. She wanted sequels to both of those.
I think they're working on a Dark Crystal TV series.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd watch that.
Yeah, it's cool. Supposed to be a Netflix deal where they do a direct-to-Netflix Dark Crystal series based off of the Sketskis.
So you guys, more puppets, please.
Yeah. Did you finally see the Happy Land Murders trailer?
I did.
Oh, my God.
It looks crazy, and I'll watch it with my mom.
I'm lightheaded.
No, my mom loves Melissa McCarthy, so she'll probably go see it and be disgusted, but she loves Melissa McCarthy. So I'll bring my mom to go see that movie.
I laugh so hard. I mean, yes, the final shot that John just mentioned, I love that. But the scene at the poker table where the puppet's like, screw me, and Melissa McCarthy's like, maybe.
With the, this is pure ecstasy.
So funny. Oh, I was in tears. Watch that trailer if you haven't seen it. The Happy Land Murders. That trailer is watch the Red Band. Don't watch anything.
Is it Happy Time Murders or Happy Land?
Happy Time.
Happy Time. Sorry. Oh. Happy Time Murders. Okay. Peter Dennis, History of the World Part 1. I've been waiting my whole life for Part 2. Oh.
I think that's part of the joke of History of the World Part 1.
Well, it is now at this point.
Yeah.
And Reese Bennett, the first thing that came to mind was John Carter. I loved those books as a teenager, and I thoroughly enjoyed the film, but apparently I was in the minority because it bombed and plans for sequels were trashed. I didn't think the new Conan movie was great, but it wasn't terrible. I wouldn't have minded them continuing that franchise without an aging Arnold, but again, I'm in the minority. Dracula Untold had potential, but just like The Mummy, it collapsed at the box office. I laugh and enjoyed the ride that is Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but it too failed to get a sequel. Some good ones.
The Conan one, I actually enjoy that movie a lot, even with the weirdness behind the casting and all that. I thought it was pretty great, and I think it did a better job of captivating the world in which Conan lives in than the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Mm-hmm. I thought Momoa was great in that movie.
Yeah.
And very charismatic, man. I mean, he's the same guy in every movie, granted, but he was great.
Hey, at least he's fun to watch in every movie. Well, actually, no, he's not the same guy, because in that Once Upon a Time in Venice movie, he's like a cholo, man, and he is a great cholo.
Okay. Hey, you see the word cholo, man. That's gangster.
Right? That's pimp.
Yeah.
That's pimp. It's on the fly. Yeah, I thought of a couple other ones, guys.
Hey, you know what? It's cool. You just finally joined in. Go ahead.
You can keep them to yourself.
Okay. We're done, damn it. Why? All right, you go ahead. Go ahead, Sean. It's fine.
The Princess Bride.
Some people would definitely agree with you.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Nah, man.
You didn't like Reg Rabbit?
Oh, I love Roger Rabbit. Doesn't need to be a franchise.
How about just a Jessica Rabbit spinoff?
Jessica Rabbit got her own little cartoons here and there, and so did Baby Herman. They got a couple of cartoons here and there.
Right, kill my dreams, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, I will. That's cool. I'm glad the Fun Police showed up.
Pull on over.
Thanks for making an appearance, Buzzkill. All right, it's time to leave our normal episode and head into Deadpool 2. So we are going to real quick tell you what we thought before we get to the spoilers. So it's safe right now. We will tell you when it's not safe. Here's the plot for Deadpool 2, because we're definitely going to talk about this flick. Wade Wilson, a.k.a. Ryan Reynolds, a.k.a. Deadpool, is back, and this time he's suffering for a bad choice, a very bad choice, and decides to save a kid from the future-traveling Cable, who has come back to kill him. There's a lot more involved. Not going to talk about that just yet. Overall, these are like real brief, spoiler-free reactions. What did you think? Couple sentences. Sean, John, what did you guys think of Deadpool 2 before we move on to spoilers?
Okay, I'm going to state this first. I didn't really care for the first movie. I didn't watch it in the right headspace, so I wasn't totally into it. Background drama. But going into this movie, I was just prepared. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give Ryan Reynolds a shot because I'm not a huge fan. And I absolutely loved it. Like, I was in the theater. Everyone was having a good time. Like, the theater audience brought me into it more because everyone was laughing, having a good time. And I just loved it. I thought it was great.
All right, John.
I was a fan of the first movie. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. I howled through 50% of this movie. I was laughing so hard at so many different things. I was that obnoxious guy in the theater laughing his ass off. And I just enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And I'm not even one of these people who think that Deadpool is an important character in the Marvel universe. I just think I like his movies, though. I think he's great and fun, and I enjoyed it. I just had so much fun with this. So, yeah.
I love the first one. I thought this one was great. I didn't love it as much as the first one, but that's like saying, you know, which kid's your favorite. You know, I love them both. It's a great movie. It takes a little bit to get going, I thought. I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get going. But it's like, this is like the Naked Gun of superhero flicks. They are just throwing every joke up in the air and seeing what sticks. And some of them land great. Some of them don't land, not so great. But they're so much funny. And they do one thing in here that is so freaking brilliant that I can't tell you about it until we get to the spoiler cast. That said, I thought it was great. So there you go. Three really loved it across the board, I think. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You all know the drill. Intercept the convoy. Watch out for Cable. Hit it! There's this kid. He's in trouble.
Move or die.
Pump the hate brakes, Thanos.
I ain't letting Cable get to him. But I can't do this alone.
We need backup.
We're gonna form a super duper fucking group.
It's time to get back on LinkedIn.
Meet Bedlam.
My name's Shatterstar.
Domino, I'm lucky.
Luck isn't a superpower.
It's certainly not very cinematic.
Yes, it is.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it isn't.
Fuck it. It's showtime.
Okay, now we're gonna get into spoilers. So if you have not seen Deadpool 2, we are gonna talk about Deadpool 2, and we're gonna talk about it deeply. Firmly, We're going to get into it. So here we go. Deadpool 2. Spoilers are free. Deadpool's back, still rated R. Does it feel just as fresh, or does it feel a little stale at this point to you, Sean?
I'll take one F-bomb, please.
Fuck yes. It works, dude. Because we're not getting superhero movies like this, right? So let's just go overboard with the gore and the F-bombs and all that stuff. And for me, it worked. Like, I really enjoyed it for that reason, because we're not getting that. We're getting so many superhero movies, but not this kind of superhero movie.
That's what's great about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really what I liked about it. Like, so you could just keep dropping those F-bombs, and it just for me, it worked. I don't know. I had such a good time watching this, and I wasn't expecting to, so.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be tired. I honestly thought we were going to get into it. It was going to be that tired already when we got into this. But I think they did the character a lot of justice in this, and I think they did a lot of justice to the fans by being very careful and crafting an important, what I think is a kind of an important story here, where they, instead of leaving it where it's not just jokes and all that other stuff, there is still quite a bit of heart here. And they make a joke about that throughout the movie too. There's still quite a bit of heart to this that makes you really want to be a part of it. So when you say it's like the Naked Gun of superhero movies, yeah, not really, because there's some things here that have more feeling to it than some of the other movies that we've gotten. Like this whole thing with Vanessa being dead and he's just trying to get back to Vanessa and she keeps sending him away. There's like, I got kind of choked up each time he was underneath the water with that.
Well, you got to admit, they're throwing jokes left and right. That's like the Naked Gun. It's like everything they can think of they threw in here, and most of them stick, but that's what I mean. And yeah, of course.
You know, to me, it felt like it felt like the Family Guy of superhero movies.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Just so random, right? It's just constant jabs and there's no boundaries. You can do anything. There's no law or rule to what Deadpool can do.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it's not.
The thing I admire most about the movie is we need this, because there's so many people that want to say, you know, that's why, John, you were talking earlier about an article, and of course it was IndieWire, because assholes. They actually made the indication that the movie made $125 million over the weekend. First movie made $132. So therefore, superhero fatigue, because it made $7 million less. Shut up.
Yep.
Shut up.
Yep. That's a stinker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bunch of jackasses.
These fucksticks don't know what they're doing, really.
The thing about it is that Deadpool, that's your one. Yeah.
I got another one in me.
No, that's your one. There you go. There's all right, your limit.
Damn it.
Hold it in.
I don't know. You know how it works with me. Once I start like letting those things fly,
it's like a fart, right? Once it comes out.
That's cool. The disconnect button works just as easy. So the thing about that whole idea is that they're saying that because it made $7 million less, that means the superhero genre is getting stale. I totally disagree, because it's not really a superhero movie. I mean, yes, it is, but it's like the anti-superhero flick. It's really
no, because Avengers is still in theaters making money while Deadpool's out. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. It's taken a little bit away, and that's gonna happen. And some of the newness, you know, it's got a little newness wear and tear. That happens. Marketing's been everywhere. I mean, it's on DVDs now. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's a
that was brilliant,
wasn't
that
it?
Was brilliant.
Putting it on top of
I have some tiny hands, sour tiny hands. I have some of those sitting right next to me.
Ooh, I almost bought some of those, but I couldn't out of principle.
The candy sour hands?
Yeah.
I wonder if now they're going to have little baby dicks. Is that what they're going to do? For? Or tiny legs, whatever they end up doing.
Tiny legs.
That's funny. But that's what it is, man. I mean, people see superhero movies and they take themselves so seriously. It's always the end of the world stakes, or in terms of Infinity War, the end of the universe stakes. I mean, there's just so many stakes. And this one's like, just like the last one was really, he was pissed that somebody made him look ugly. This one, he's just pissed that he got his own girlfriend killed. It's really his fault that he has to have this battle for the most part. Yeah. It's great. I dug it.
My name's Cable.
I'm from the future. Just walk away.
Oh, so you're from the future. I have three questions then. One, is dubstep still a thing? Two, which Sharknado are we on? And three, at what point do audiences say, enough with the robotic arms?
Dumbstones on pussies.
You're so dark!
Are you sure you're not from the DC Universe?
How was Cable? What do you think about Cable?
I think Josh Brolin was kind of wasted on Cable.
What?
I thought Josh Brolin was wasted for the amount of time we spent with Cable and for the amount of what acting Josh Brolin did as Cable. He was kind of wasted. I thought he was still cool, but like the coolness factor to him was kind of like, you know, he's a looming shadow over everything. And yeah, I think Josh Brolin was a waste for Cable, but it was still cool. Does that make sense?
No.
I think Cable could have been like a cardboard cutout on a stick kind of waved around, because that's the amount about the amount of work Josh Brolin had to do.
Oh man, I couldn't get to disagree with you more.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Did you watch Deadpool 2?
Wait, we were supposed to watch Deadpool 2?
Did you watch Goonies instead?
I watched Avengers again.
God. Wasted. I thought he was fantastic, man.
Yeah. I thought Cable was great. I think anyone could have played that.
That's
role,
Sean
though.
Talk. We got your point. It didn't make any sense. We've overridden you.
You don't make sense.
Vetoed.
Yeah, I don't get what you're saying, man. I listened to an interview with him recently, and I got to know Josh Brolin as for him before I saw Deadpool. So I already saw the Avengers, listened to the interview, and like, Josh Brolin's one cool mother effer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to watch Deadpool 2, and it just brought that to light more. I was like, this dude's awesome. I think it was great in that role. I think, yeah, everything, you know, X-Force. All right. Gonna be awesome.
X-Force. Oh my god. I thought Brolin was great. I would have liked to see more of him and Deadpool working together, because they had that fun buddy dynamic near the end, but I got just enough of him. I mean, he was in all the pivotal moments, so I don't know where the hell John's at, but hey, you felt the way you feel, and your feelings matter to someone other than me.
Yeah, I think he's a good choice for Cable, although in this particular movie, it was a waste to see him as Cable. Let's see what happens in X-Force.
If you keep saying it, it doesn't make any more sense. You just...
Yes, it will. It will finally sink in and you'll get it.
No. Uh-uh. All right.
You know, going into this movie, I didn't know anything about Cable. I thought he was actually just the villain. I didn't know there was going to be any connection between the two. That's where I thought was also cool. I didn't know anything. I just thought he was the villain of the movie and he was going to be the bad guy, and since it didn't turn out to be that way, I don't know. It all worked for me. I thought the movie was just really good. All the characters.
What did you guys think about Cable coming back to kill a kid? I mean, that's kind of a, even for Deadpool, it seems like a ballsy choice.
How old was that kid in real life though? Was he actually a kid?
14, 15.
He was 14 or 15 in the movie.
In the movie, but in real life.
47. Yeah, he's 47.
Yeah, probably.
He's going to be in the CW this season. He'll be on Charmed.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, right? But they've done that, right? They've done that with Terminator. You know, go back, you know.
Yeah, but it's like a kid. I mean, they went back for Sarah Connor, and this is like a teen. I mean, he's a bitchy teen. I get it. I mean, I'm surprised Deadpool didn't kill him, honestly, but... Still kind of ballsy. And they killed Vanessa, even if they did retcon it.
Right. Actually, he's right. Terminator, they went back and tried to kill John Connor in Terminator 2.
Well, Sarah Connor first. Well, in 2 they did, but yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, T2. That's what I was thinking of. I was like, oh, crap, did I get that wrong? No, I got it right. Yes. Thank you, John.
You're all right. I mean, I understand what you're saying, which is starting to bother me.
Oh, God. Welcome aboard, guys.
I'd be concerned. Did you guys think that was too dark to kill off Vanessa, go after a kid? Any of that too dark, or that was just the right?
I don't think
amount?
Anything was too dark in this movie. I think everything just goes right. You can break through the fourth wall and then grab a piece of the fourth wall and take it back with you through the second wall, and then it makes sense. Grab a little chunk of the second wall and go back to the fourth wall, and the movie still makes sense.
Okay, now Sean's lost me, but
that made sense to me way more than what John said. I'm just letting you know, John, that made sense to me. I totally understood that.
Like when I said there's no law or rules to the Deadpool movies, I really mean like there's nothing they could do. You know, Ryan Reynolds signing his own name, I think that just signified that anything can do, anything goes. You know, shut up, Thanos. You know, anything goes.
They killed Ryan Reynolds in the movie.
Oh yeah, they you know, yeah, did
the bottom Brad half Pitt in the movie too.
Oh, did the bottom half though grow a top half? You know, is there like a little like torso, miniature torso, baby torso on full grown leg somewhere?
That's the 2.5 Deadpool 2.5. That'll be
so
the
are there two Deadpools now running around?
Oh God, I hope so.
The next movie, Deadpool versus Deadpool.
That's a spinoff.
I think they balanced the darkness when the lightness almost perfectly. They found a way to whenever starting to get a little too heavy, then he would throw a bag of coke in his face and hit it really hard, and you know, that sort of thing. So I think they did a really good job balancing the sadness with the happiness.
Did you notice when he went to get that cocaine in that hidden storage, there was the cure for blindness was in there?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh,
no,
I almost cried. I'm like, it is hidden in the apartment. That's a fun throwback. What did you guys think of the James Bond-esque opening? The song.
Okay. Going to the next one, it says what didn't work. I thought the beginning of the movie, when I was watching the first like 10 or 15 minutes, I was like, oh, am I not going to like this? Because I didn't hate it because there was funny stuff in the opening. Yeah, like from one of the guys who killed the dog in John Wick or whatever. I thought that was funny, but I was almost going to not be into the movie the first like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, crap. Am I not going to enjoy this? And then it just kind of switched around everything after that point.
Yeah, I was a little weirded out until I realized that they're doing a James Bond-esque opening with Deadpool instead of hot chicks everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, this is better.
It was funny. Yeah,
it was funny. I do agree with you, Sean. It took a little bit to get going. I felt like it was kind of all over the map for the first like 20 minutes or something. Like it was skits stitched together almost.
Yeah. But once you see the movie and you're past that, you're like, okay, I get it. So if you go watch it a second time, it'll make sense. You'll know why it's there.
So speaking of anything that didn't work, anything else not work for you guys? Anything about the movie where you're like, man, that just did not hit it?
Josh Brolin is Cable.
I didn't say he didn't work. I just thought he was a little wasted.
I really wish they would add more Josh Brolin as Cable. Guys, let me make this point one more time.
Anything besides Josh Brolin as Cable that didn't work?
I liked everything else.
No, everything was kind of, I think this was a near wonderful everything. I can't think of a single thing that really irked me. I like how, like, let's just move into the favorite moments. I like
No, because I got something that bothered me. So before you move into what you want to talk about.
Wait, something bothered you?
Yeah, something did bother me. And that felt like sarcasm, bitch. So why don't you go back to your James Brolin complaint or Josh Brolin?
What didn't work for me is the fact that they try to do those homages to Lost.
What?
That's a dig at me, bitch. I got that. I caught you. He's been listening to Beyond Westworld.
Ah, right.
It's a trigger word. It's a trigger. I think they tried a little too hard with the F-bombs and sex jokes, man. It got to the point where I'm like, they felt like they were that kid who first saw his friends laugh, like kind of like when John makes a joke and everybody laughs and then he keeps making it throughout the episode. That's what he felt like. It felt like they just learned how to swear and stuff and their friends laughed and they're like, oh, I'm going to keep making sex jokes and because people seem to laugh and they never not did it. Where I think they could have been a little bit more clever with some of the humor where some of it was a little forced. That part.
You know what's funny about those scenes is that after a while, I just stopped seeing them.
You know, if I watched this movie at home alone and was just chilling watching, I think that stuff would be more apparent to me. But when, I mean, you're in a theater with like everybody laughing and having a good time, you kind of just forget. You like forget why things don't work sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's what happened with me. And that's why like at the point in time where Deadpool won't let go of Colossus's ass, that's when my brain finally stopped seeing it moving forward. I just didn't notice it anymore. I was like, oh, right. So this is like being around my friends. Got it. I just stopped seeing it.
No, I can't stop thinking about that. Where he just kept touching his ass throughout the movie for no reason.
Right.
Whatsoever. Mm-hmm. All right. Favorite moments or jokes, John? We can segue to that now.
So my favorite moments had really everything to do with Domino. I thought she was fantastic. I thought that little argument they open up with how luck isn't a superpower, going back and forth, and that like how she actually wins over and gets some good lines timed in perfectly with Deadpool. I thought that was really well executed. I love the digs at Rob Liefeld that they threw in there. It was just great. I loved it.
Yeah, Domino is great. Zazie Beetz, she's also in Atlanta. I'm telling you, that show is genius. I liked all the random stuff that just happened and you weren't expecting it. Like when they were at the school, the mutant school, and they show all everyone from the X-Men in that room. Sorry. Just random stuff where he just caught you off guard, and the jokes like shut up Thanos, and constant digs at DC, which is just, it's just funny, just because you have to know, you have to be really, you got to be a fan of all this superhero stuff to get all that stuff. But it kind of worked because they weren't direct jokes that everyone's gonna get. Mm-hmm. But if you're a fan of all this nerd culture stuff, you totally get it. Like you get all those little jokes.
There like was
the mustache removal and all that.
The joke about it's a whole scene. My favorite thing, like I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I talked about it before we got into the spoiler cast. The fact that all of the marketing was centered around X-Force and him assembling this super duper team. And then in the movie, he spends a good 15 minutes assembling them, talking to them, talking them up. And they're going to go in and hatch this plan. It's going to be this heist thing. It's like a total Fast and the Furious team building exercise. They get in the copper or the chopper or the kappa. And they, poor Peter's there, which Peter, you're freaking hysterical. And they go and one by one, they all die. Was the funniest. I haven't laughed that hard in anything, and I can't remember how long. I was crying from laughing so hard.
Yeah, and then they had a Bill Skarsgård, and they're like, "Oh, he's part of this movie." Oh, no, he's not.
Yeah. What's great is that like the Vanisher character is he's an important X-Force character, and they changed his powers up a little bit in this movie, but the fact that he was in it for 3 seconds and then being played by Brad Pitt was awesome. The fact that Shatterstar
should talk about it. Like, instead of everybody like doing all of theirs at once, we should talk about the stuff as you get there. Brad Pitt does that cameo, and I think a lot of people did not realize that because it's only a couple seconds of screen time.
I had to tell Courtney it was Brad Pitt, and she's like, "No, it wasn't. No, yeah, it was Brad Pitt." And then she had to look it up. Yeah, totally. I loved it.
That was great. That was really cool.
I didn't even see Matt Damon until afterward. I didn't even know it was Matt Damon until somebody told me.
Yeah, did you guys know that? The hillbillies that Cable stumbles across is Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk.
Who's Alan Tudyk? I'll
get this up. He was
that
Walsh.
Was Alan Tudyk?
Yeah, that was Alan Tudyk and Matt Damon in that having that whatever diaper discussion or whatever the hell they were when Cable showed up.
I didn't. I recognize. I sort of thought it was Alan Tudyk for a second because I was like, is this was it Dale and Earl? Earl and Dale versus Evil?
Tucker and Dale.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And so I was looking at Alan Tudyk. I'm like, well, that's Tucker. Where's Dale? And because that was definitely what I didn't recognize Matt Damon.
Yeah,
I didn't either until somebody told me.
I think he's Dickie Greenleaf or something, which is the character that Jude Law played in Talent of Mr. Ripley. So that's kind of funny. That's what he's credited as. Yeah.
That toilet paper, you can one up that with the butt wipe.
Oh, cameos were great. There were so many. You got, well, let's see. You have the X-Men. You have Brad Pitt. You have Matt Damon. You have Alan Tudyk. Who else we got? Who else made a cameo?
Yeah, Bill Skarsgård.
Well, he wasn't really a cameo. He was a character. He was a full-on character.
Yeah, kind of. But he was. I consider him a cameo because he's in there very short.
Misdirection. Whatever. Very, very. Misdirection is what him and Terry Crews and those guys were. Any other cool cameos? There were so many cameos. I mean, we had the old footage from Wolverine at the end. We'll talk about the Stingers in a minute. But
oh, yes.
That was pretty cool. Ryan Reynolds cameoing in his own movie. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's more we're missing, but those are the big ones, I think. Those are the big ones.
I just love how they killed off Shatterstar. Hey, what are you? I'm a mutant from Planet Mojo, and I'm basically better at everything than you are. And he flies into the helicopter blades.
So many deaths. Baby legs. I thought that was great. That was just a really inspired scene. I like how they kind of jumped off the baby hand from the first movie and made it even bigger and bolder. And did you guys know his death scene for Deadpool's death scene was done over Logan's music?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's the same music they played when Logan died.
Oh, wow. I love the song with when they're fighting Juggernaut, and it's like, oh, no, it's Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Do you know who the voice of Juggernaut is?
Is that Ryan Reynolds, I heard?
Yep, that's Ryan Reynolds. He actually did it himself.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And that's actually one of my favorite actually, there's only two to pick from. That is my favorite on-screen representation of Juggernaut.
The CGI one?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're going up against Brett Ratner, so.
Well, it's still better than, what's-his-face doing it. I'm Juggernaut, bitch! That's better than that whole thing.
That was Brett Ratner. That was the character that Vinnie Jones played in Brett Ratner's movie.
Right.
That was my reference.
Right. I didn't disagree with you. I still said it's better than Vinnie Jones. I couldn't think of Vinnie Jones' name at the time.
I don't think you understood what my point was. But
no, okay. I don't care.
Obviously. All right. Now, how about that the mid-credits stinger, where basically, by my estimation, he retcons Peter's death. He retcons Vanessa's death. Retcons Wolverine. Takes that back finally, thank God. And also retcons Ryan Reynolds' life. Is that all accurate?
I feel like you're missing one.
Peter Vanessa, he killed himself as Deadpool and killed himself as Ryan Reynolds. I don't think there's any more. I think that was it.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, because he didn't save any of the other guys, like Bill Skarsgård and those other guys.
He really hung up by Bill Skarsgård.
He's like, man, I loved him.
I like saying his name. It's just Skarsgård.
As I saw that character, I knew he was going to be dead.
I didn't. I didn't even know he was in the movie. And I saw him and I'm like, yeah, cool. Pennywise. No. Damn it.
Really? I didn't think those guys were going to die at all. I thought they were going to be in there the rest of the movie.
Okay, so there's a whole story behind, what was his name? What was his character's name?
Venom Spitter or something?
Something like that. So his character was the head of X-Force for one issue, and the whole story behind that one issue was like he reconstitutes X-Force. They're all in like kind of goofy costumes, but he decides that the way they're going to come out of the shadows as X-Force is they hire somebody to kidnap a boy band, and they go to save the boy band, and that entire group of X-Force dies, and he dies pretty much the same way he died in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nerd alert.
Everyone calm down, the pros are here, we're the X-Men.
What are you doing?
My job. You're the one who said I was ready, and I frankly disagree with you. But here we are, trying to overcome our differences, like Beyonce says. Please, please stop cheating on me.
Hey, this is the fifth incident. This kid needs to be in the icebox, not here.
Russell belongs in our care, not in prison. I assure you, we have everything under control.
Open
Not getting a real under control vibe here, Marty. It is Glenn, isn't it?
Daniel.
I'll ask the questions. Let me talk to the kid. You stay here with your weird secret sex lips.
You want to die?
This kid's adorable. I don't know why I packed the hollow points.
I'll burn your balls off!
Did you just say hollow points?
Yeah. Probably should have brought a super soaker. Hi there.
Stay back, or Justin Bieber dies.
Justin Bieber, he called you Justin Bieber.
Oh,
hold on, wait. Okay, let's not do whatever that is. Okay, let's just talk. It's Russell, right?
Fire Fist.
Ooh, that's a great name. Where does it burn? Just the fist or all the way up to the elbow?
Hey, well, speaking of Super Nerd, so is the X-Force comic, I don't know X-Force, I know Deadpool. I've read tons of Deadpool, but I haven't really branched off to X-Force much. What do you expect to see? Do you think they'd go like a PG-13 route? Because I know they're going to do that movie. Do you think they'd do that R or PG-13?
They do it right, they should go R. Because
yeah,
X-Force was,
should,
but the whole thing with the X-Force was that they were going to take a lot of what Xavier taught them, but be a little bit more, you know, killy about it.
The thing that sucks if they do it all, I feel like that would make less money than a Deadpool movie, but a PG-13 version of that would make more money than a Deadpool movie, maybe.
Well,
be more and more X-Men.
The fact that Deadpool will be in it anyways will kind of make it hard to make it a PG-13, if you ask me. So they would have to snip a lot of Deadpool.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true. Yeah, they'll probably have to keep it. Or else it might feel forced like Walking Dead. We're like, oh, these people don't know who they're messing with. Like, come on, you're about to die. You're going to just drop an F-bomb once. Right. Come on, Rick. Sorry, guys.
No. You went off on a little tangent. Somebody's a little bitter about Walking Dead.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, in situations like that, there's an F-bomb coming, guys. It's not like, stop messing with us.
Just quit. It's healthier for you.
That'd be interesting. I kind of wonder if maybe that's they should try to do X-Force PG-13. I would like to see them try to do Deadpool without all the sex jokes and F-bombs. And I know that sounds ridiculous. People are like, well, that's just stupid. But I think you could get a lot of clever jokes out of it. I mean, he's still just as irreverent. Thank you. Irreverent. And he can be foul-mouthed just without being too dirty. I mean, really, do we need to see baby dicks a lot? I don't think so. Or, I'm sorry, young person penises?
That's the question of the day, guys. Do we need to see baby dicks a lot?
The answer is always no. Always no.
Yeah. No hesitation. Always no.
Always no.
I see what you're saying about it, and I think that you're right. There is a way to do Deadpool, and you can do it just as well, and even more clever by making him PG-13. I think it's possible. But I think that the whole thing with X-Force you're missing is that there is supposed to be like bodies flying left and right. There's supposed to be like people detonating in the giblets left and right when it comes to X-Force. I don't know how they could do that without the R rating.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, the gore and blood kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you gets a little tricky, right? It's hard to do that. And then you just have like an X-Men movie. But, you know, most of the stuff from most of the really good jokes in Deadpool didn't involve curse words. They were just good jabs that we got as fans of these type of movies.
Right.
That's exactly what I think, too. Yeah, I agree.
That's just lazy writing.
Yeah, but the blood and gut stuff, you can't cut that out. You can't make that PG-13. You maybe can get like one head getting cut off or something.
That would be interesting to see them try with X-Force. Because I'm telling you, I think Disney's going to lay the hammer down. I can't see Disney wanting to, even with it making apparently a substantially less amount of money than the first one. I still can't believe that article. It just cracks me up. Yeah. Disney doesn't like foul mouth. They want family humor. They want to make those kinds of movies. Very much studio tentpole picks. I don't know if Deadpool 3 exists in the same world that Deadpool 2 and 1 can exist in.
But
Comcast in the running, though, right now? Isn't Comcast now?
They're fighting it, yeah.
I mean, but Disney's name is really not anywhere to be seen, right? When you go watch it, it doesn't say Disney anywhere, does it?
Well, not yet. The merger hasn't gone through yet.
Oh, right. I get it. Yeah. Okay.
They're still, and then Comcast threw their hands in it and said, we want to make a fair pitch because it's a monopoly. And we're like, well, we knew that. Disney's been a monopoly for like 10 years. Where you been?
Now you want to wake up? There's a sleeping giant over here.
So I'm sorry. Back to the mid-credit stingers. Did you guys like the retconning? I mean, the fact that Vanessa's dead, that's kind of propelling the whole movie. And then at the end, she's back.
I actually like that. There's actually a couple things I've read about how Vanessa could be like the avatar of death. And because it seems like whenever he gets close to her in each movie, it's something that starts to fall apart within him. And though he's happy and he starts to move forward in life, he's also like getting closer to death. And I think the idea of keeping Vanessa in the series works more.
He needs a reason, right? Like, I feel like that's Deadpool's reason to everything, to stick around and do stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Marina Baccarin, but I was kind of fine with her being gone. You know, make the next one, there's no romance at all, and we could just go a different way.
Yeah, then go full romance towards Colossus, you know?
Yes! Let's really shake it up. I mean, he's kind of supposed to be pansexual or whatever. I mean, he'll screw anything, right? Let's see some of that.
He's metal, though. He's not even
Hi, Wade. Hi, Yukio. Oh, yeah. Kyukyo was great. I love her. She was so peppy. Hi, Wade. Hi, Yukio. Bye, Wade. Bye, Yukio.
You nailed every that. That sounds just time. Like her, dude.
Yukio. Oh, so funny. And I like that. Yeah. I just can't stop smiling because I'm thinking about her. She's adorable.
That whole thing just makes me smile every time I think about this, that whole interaction. It doesn't matter what happens. She's like, hi, Wade. Hi, Yukio.
Of course, she took away valuable Josh Brolin as Cable time. But outside of that, you know, I liked her.
I think we'll get plenty of Josh Brolin as Cable in X-Force because, well, let's face it, Cable is the head of X-Force.
Can I just point out Deadpool had the ability to finally time travel and doesn't give it back to Josh Brolin so he can go back and see his family?
Yeah, because Deadpool's a dick.
But didn't he decide not to? Right? He decided to just stick around?
Well, he did, but that's because he used his last chance at doing it.
He had two charges.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. One charge there, one charge. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Right.
So Deadpool got the ability. So that's what
he ended up using. And then he had Negatastic go ahead and re-rig it so he can use it apparently several times.
Negasonic.
Same difference. I've heard it both ways.
She needed more to do in this movie. I was really hoping for her to get a little bit more fun. She didn't have as much cool stuff this time.
No, I did want to see more of her. I think she's a very cool character.
Dream sequences, I don't like them. I do think they bogged the movie down a little bit every time they came up when he had his little fake conversations with Vanessa. But outside of that, this movie is pretty much hilarious.
It was kind of cool to see him, like, you know, with his face normal for a minute or two, you know? And he finally goes in there and he's just like, oh, look at me. I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he's getting pretty close to that Robert Downey Jr. thing where, because they know that the franchise can't exist without him, he can barter a little bit more for more FaceTime so he's not wearing a mask as often.
And put his name in there, you know, actually sign his name, Ryan Reynolds.
Yep. All right. Anything more you want to talk about with Deadpool? Or moving forward, do you want Deadpool solo movies, movies where he's more part of this ensemble kind of thing? What do you want?
I want something that's going to make sense. So, and I want them to do what it seems like they are very interested in doing, which is not doing it to cash a check, but doing it so that they can tell the right kind of story. So whatever it is that Ryan Reynolds seems to be pulling as far as clout right now to tell the right story with Deadpool, I'm going to trust it in his hands because he's so far two runs at the title and he's doing pretty well.
Dude, I didn't think I even wanted a Deadpool 2, and I loved it so much that just give me more fun stuff. I like to go to the theater and have a good time. I love to be surrounded by a bunch of people laughing, and I know everyone's having a good time. So when I walk out of the theater, you know, you got a smile on your face. You want to talk to your friends and get on podcasts, I guess, and talk about it. So as long as they just keep doing more Deadpool stuff that's intelligent in a, you know, creative way, I'm down.
Same. I'm actually open to anything. I mean, I do want a Deadpool 3 because I want a solo movie of his that isn't dependent on a team. But I think Deadpool works best when he's going against people or he's playing off of people. So I would love to see like 3 X-Force movies where he gets to bounce off Cable and he's kind of like more the comic relief than the sole center player.
Right. Yeah, have the X-Force and then he becomes a trainee. Like, you're just a trainee.
Exactly. Oh, that would be so fun. Oh, and I want some baby legs. I want to eat some baby legs. So I want some candy.
Oh, what?
That's made. Oh, I'm sorry. Not real baby legs. I mean candy, like they made for the troll candy. There's going to be so many letters. I'm going to offend some mom is going to write some article about, don't listen to Hollywood Outsider podcast. They advocate eating babies. We don't.
That would happen. And yeah. Well, yeah. No, what's going to happen is somebody's going to comment on it in the group, and then someone's going to take screenshots of that in the group, and then it's going to end up on some mom website about how we do that, and then it's going to, like, and then everyone's group's going to be like, hey, it was great, but then that one mom website's going to be like, yeah, these are monsters.
I think John is advocating for someone to take screenshots and audio and be sure to send it to a mom website. That's what I'm getting out of all that.
You know what? There's no such thing as bad press, Aaron.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone's like, let me check out this Hollywood Outsider. Oh, this is pretty cool. I'll stick around. Yeah.
You know what? I get it. You know what I want? I want more Josh Brolin in all things because he's obviously being underused everywhere he goes.
Yeah. And and after listening to that interview recently, like, he just seems like a really cool dude, like just as a person before acting.
He did. They were on Graham Norton and he allowed Ryan Reynolds to film, or somebody to film him basically looking like he's working out, but he's actually on the toilet. Was it as the camera pans back? And I'm like, that dude, that's commitment. Cause that's a joke that can really smack you in the face on social media. And he went for it. So kudos for him. He's embracing it.
They did that whole insulting each other like web show.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think Josh Brolin does not compare in speed or wit to
Ryan Reynolds
at all in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's like it was like watching somebody run around on a motorcycle while the other person's on a tricycle trying to do stuff. But it was still worth watching.
That's a great analogy. I mean, it's true. I listened to an interview with Ryan Reynolds, and he's throwing out random things very quickly, like panda tears and things like that. I'm like, where do panda tears come from? Why aren't more people thinking of throwing panda tears into their rhetoric? He's brilliant. He's a very smart comic mind. All right, final score. $10 is full price of admission. What do you give Deadpool 2? Sean?
I give it 9.50. Like, that's how much I actually liked it.
Damn. All right. Well, what would you give it, John?
I gave it $8.
You know what? I gave it $8 too. That's about where I landed with it. Maybe even 8.50. It's kind of, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I got to see it a second time. See where the jokes land a second round. But
sorry I'm late. There was a bunch of handy, capable children stuck in a tree, and I had to... You're right. I was fighting a caped bat. Then we discovered his mom is named Martha, too.
No.
Traffic?
All right. Well, listener comments or email from... you can send that to the show at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. We did get one email, and this is from Mark Behete. It says, and I know I said that wrong. You're welcome.
Yep.
Hi. On this past episode, while discussing movie trailers, you used... this is the one where Troy was on... you used the example of being catfished by a Tinder profiler to describe certain trailers. One of you mentioned the movie Catfish. I was of the mindset that trailers shouldn't matter until I was reminded of that movie. The trailer for Catfish should be illegal. I saw the trailer expecting a super creepy horror movie with an M. Night twist and was horribly disappointed. I sat with my friend and kept telling him a twist is coming and nothing came. I've never had my expectations crushed as much as they were by this movie. Well, Matt, or Mark, I'm sorry, you've never dated me. Okay. Thank you. And he goes on to say, I guess I've been catfished. Huh.
It's funny because it sounds like he was expecting like some sort of movie, like a found footage movie, and it turned out to be a documentary or a sort of documentary.
No, I think it was. I mean, did you see it or was it Troy that saw it? When you saw it?
Troy is the one that saw it. Okay. And that's why I'm like, I'm still pretty sure what he was expecting to get was some sort of documentary it seems like from what he's saying, it sounds like he was expecting something to be like a found footage movie where it becomes like scary.
Okay. Found footage, not documentary. Okay. I got what you're
right.
saying.
Right. But what he ended up getting was an actual like sort of documentary from Neve, whatever his name is.
Interesting. He sent a link to the trailer, so I'll have to send it to you guys and check it out. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Join our Facebook group. Tweet us on @BuyPopcorn. Remember to grab the hole and the go with our Apple or Android apps. I do want to point out our Apple app is going away, I think, the end of June, because there's only like 10 people that use it. So, you know, most people use the Android app, or they use Spotify, or they use some other app. So there's really no need for us to have it, so we're going to go ahead and discontinue the Apple app. You've got the Apple Podcasts app on the iPhone, so that's still there. Subscribe and review us in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, HollywoodOutsider.com, your podcast app of choice, whatever you use. And thanks everybody for being here. Thanks you guys for being here. John, Sean.
Hey. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I had a good time. Always.
You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohn.draws. You can find Sean on his podcast, Horribly Awkward, which there was a Hollywood Outsider episode of that one, right?
Yeah, there definitely was.
Okay, go check it out. And
if you guys want a podcast with no direction and no purpose and it's barely good and I flub stuff constantly, then yeah, check it out.
Man, you keep selling yourself short. You've had a lot of people on here. You had the mom from 13 Reasons Why on that bad boy. That's like a big get.
Did I?
You did. You had the. You have been on your own podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She's amazing.
Yeah, she was great. So be sure to check it. Horribly Awkward. And me and my other podcast, Smirk, Remake This Movie Right, Beyond Westworld, and the recently season-ending Blacklist Exposed, so which had a big, big hoopla with their season finale. So be sure to listen to that one. That was interesting. All right. Well, remember, the next time you head to a theater, you're going to want to wait. We're gone for 2 weeks. John, is there anything you want to say? We're gone for 2 weeks.
Try not to miss me.
Okay. All right. Sean, anything you want to say? I mean, you're not here for I don't know how many weeks, but is there anything you want to say?
I just want to say, guys, keep. I mean, still, Aaron, you always impress me on how much work you actually do for each podcast, and it hurts my brain because I don't do any work for my podcast. So, dude, I just want to give a big shout out to you for just constantly doing 80 podcasts and editing them. And I want to give a big shout out to John for actually reading that dog thing earlier, because, you know, me and him got like not good readers, and we read. Red and read spelled the same, trips me out every time. And guys, yeah, I'm a hoe.
That's awesome. All right, guys. Well, I hope everybody has a good Memorial Day. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And remember, we'll have more information on the hoe cruise, which I'm hoping we have hoes on, right? I mean, I'm going to be there. John's going to be there. So those kind of hoes, not the kind you were, not actual prostitutes. All right.
Well, that one went well. I'm cheap.
You're willing to work for biscuits?
Yeah, I mean, I got to pay for that cruise somehow.
Remember, the next time you head to the theater to see Solo or whatever else you want to see this summer season, buy popcorn. Lots of it. Lots of it. Theaters are going broke, boy. Just buy all that popcorn and get a movie pass.
Yeah.
So thank you, Courtney and Amy. And not Amy. Amy wasn't there. Why'd you bail? No. Shit, I got to edit that. So thank
you. That's what I do when I do the live videos and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I use. That's what I use to do my podcast always. Because then I get the video. You know, if something cool happens, I do have video. But, you know, in case a booby falls out or something.
All right. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
All right. I got to do a little opening, so bear with me.
No.
Fuck. Damn it. John. John, shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
Fuck you. I'm done with this podcast.
You know what? Fuck this and fuck him and fuck you. You go fuck him too.
Justin, is that you?
Is that too much? Did I cross the line?
You definitely would give. You're definitely gonna give Deadpool a 10 then.
Oh shit!
All right. Did I go too far?
Oh no, it's perfect.
I can never tell.